All right, good morning, church. I'm dropping things. We're in Revelation 14 this morning still. I promise things will pick up as far as the pace is concerned here soon, but not today. Last week we read about the Lamb and the 144,000 standing together on Mount Zion, the 144,000 redeemed from the earth, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 144,000 with Jesus, the 144,000 following Jesus wherever he went, the 144,000 set apart as holy and blameless. And this morning we're going to talk about angels. There's going to be a total of six different angels that we're going to see before the end of this chapter, before the end of chapter 14. Angel in the Greek, it simply means messenger. You guys know this. Angels communicate the will of God. They obey the will of God, and in that they execute the purposes of God and even execute the judgments of God, as we've seen as we've gone through the book of Revelation. We're going to read about three angels today, and then we're going to see three more next Sunday before we get into the seven angels with the seven plagues that lead into the seven bowls of wrath being poured out onto the earth. But let's not get too far ahead. I think the message today is a good reminder for all of us, so I would say those with ears, let them hear. We're going to read Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel, with an everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.' Another angel, a second, followed, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality.' And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name.' Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak it to us. Let it not be my words, let it be your words, and let's speak it directly to our heart and directly to the hearts of those who are watching online and directly to those who are watching at home and to those who aren't here today. That you just speak directly to them. That you continue to lift us up and encourage us and help us just keep our eyes on you, Lord, the perfecter of our faith. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have three angels with three messages, but we're really only going to focus on one. Verse 6 says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an everlasting gospel," or an eternal gospel, depending on your translation, "to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people." An everlasting, eternal gospel. What does everlasting mean? The dictionary says it's something that lasts forever or something that just lasts a long time. They say that there are flowers, they say, that are everlasting. I'm not into flowers, so... Right? They say there's perfume that's everlasting, which I can sort of believe. You know, because perfume sticks around. When you go to Google and you type in everlasting, what's one of the first things you think that pops up? The everlasting gobstopper. You guys remember that from Willy Wonka? Charlie and Chocolate Factory, yeah. the everlasting gobstopper. It was a small, little, hard gobstopper, right, that you sucked on, and it changed colors and it changed flavors, but it never got smaller and it never disappeared. In the book, if you read the book, there was an Oompa Loompa or whatever that had been sucking on one for like a year, just to continue to test out the everlasting gobstopper. And they say if you tried chewing the gobstopper, you would probably just break all your teeth. Here's the thing about the everlasting gobstopper. It's fictional. It's not real. I know that a candy company, you know, started making the gobstoppers and that Nestle bought them out. The gobstoppers are owned by Nestle now, right? And they produce the gobstoppers. I understand that you can actually go buy gobstoppers at the candy store, right? But they aren't everlasting. It's all a fake. You guys knew this. You've probably had one. You know that those gobstoppers don't last forever. You can suck on those things, and pretty soon they're going to be gone. You're going to chew them up. They're going to be done. You can go through a whole box of them. If they were everlasting, you would only need one. They wouldn't sell them in a whole box. They aren't everlasting. Here's the thing. Everlasting here in the Bible, everlasting in the Greek. The Greek word is aionios. And it means without beginning or end. It means always has been and always will be. That's not the gobstopper, because it has a beginning and it has an end. Now, when we read this verse, verse 6, and it says, "And I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an everlasting or an eternal gospel." I'm not going to debate whether or not it means everlasting or eternal, because we kind of tend to use those words interchangeably, right? Psalm 93:2, for example, "Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." The idea is that God, of course, is eternal. And I'm not going to be picky, but there is a slight difference between everlasting and eternal. See, everlasting carries with it the idea that it has endured forever. As in, it has gone through a great deal of suffering. It has weathered the storms. It has persisted. It has run the race. It has withstood and will continue to withstand the forces of evil, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, no matter how hard the gates of hell are trying to. Another way to describe the difference between eternal and everlasting is this. Jesus has existed eternally, but he endured the cross. That is the everlasting gospel. You see, the gospel is eternal, but it is truly everlasting. It's a gospel that has always existed. It's never going to end. It has lasted forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words will not." Ever. Right? You know, we know that the word gospel means good news. Right? The first mention of the gospel in the New Testament is found in Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 4. It says when Jesus is going through Galilee and he's proclaiming what? He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and he's healing every disease and affliction among the people. See, the everlasting gospel is the good news of everlasting life. That's promised by God to all who believe in Jesus. Right? John 3:16, which you guys should have that verse memorized. Right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." That's the everlasting gospel. But as we know from history, it's a gospel that has endured. It's a gospel that has gone through a lot of affliction and a lot of opposition, and yet still stands today. The same exact gospel. Because it's not just everlasting, it's eternal. Because it's God's word. And that's the gospel truth. That's the good news. Now, here in the context of what we're talking about in Revelation, let me ask you a question. Just because the rapture has happened, and the church is out of the picture. Jesus came for his bride. Does that mean Jesus is now dealing with those on earth in a different manner in which he dealt with them when the church was present? No. God's never dealt with anyone in a different way. Right? If he did, then we would start having those arguments that we've always had, like, is God of the Old Testament different than God of the New Testament? No, it was only one God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God in the New Testament, and God has always dealt with people by their faith in God. You know, right? Abraham was found righteous because of his faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of God because of his faith. God's always dealt with people the same way. So here, even during the tribulation, people are going to be saved exactly the same way as anyone and everyone is saved today. By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. It's no different. Even with the church raptured. It doesn't change a thing about the way people will come to salvation during the tribulation. However, we do have a little bit of a difference right now. Right now, part of the difference is the fact that during our present age, we, the church, this ragtag, group of believers, the body of Christ, we have the privilege and the responsibility to share the gospel, right? That responsibility has been given to God's people. That's us. But during the tribulation, what we see here at verse 6 of chapter 14, an angel is going to be dispatched, sent out, right? A messenger with a message to declare the gospel to a world that has seemingly rejected God and turned their face from God and is living a life without God. The angels shared... Think about this. The angels shared the good news, the gospel, at the birth of Jesus, right, to the shepherds. The shepherds shared it with Mary. But you don't see an angel sharing the good news from the birth of Jesus till now in Revelation chapter 14. Because in that time, whose responsibility was it? For the most part. Until the tribulation started, until the rapture of the church, whose responsibility was it really to share the good news? It was the church's responsibility to share the good news. It's not that God, not that people could find out the good news without the church, because they can. I mean, the Holy Spirit is alive and active, drawing people towards God all the time. But we had been given that responsibility to share the good news. But now the church is out of the picture, but it's still the same good news. Still the everlasting gospel. Hasn't changed any. But now it's being shared by an angel who's circling the entire globe sharing the gospel to all those who are left at this time during the tribulation, during the great tribulation, which not a lot of people left. Not a lot of time left. God's final judgment is coming. There's a couple different views about what this angel is doing right now. Not everybody agrees that he's sharing the gospel in the sense of, one final time before the final judgment comes. Some people think he's declaring the gospel in the sense that as a final judgment. You've already turned your back on Christ. You've already rejected him. But just so you can hear it for one last time before God's final judgment comes. Here it is. Right? The angel's flying around. He's like, here's the truth. Listen to it for one last time. The truth is the same as it was at the beginning, as it is here at the end. Listen to it one last time before final judgment comes. This is what you rejected. I don't know. I think God is sharing the gospel because there's still an opportunity for people to come to Christ. Even if it's just one or two more people or however many it is, there's still this opportunity, right? I mean, final judgment is coming here. Man's rebellion that began in the Garden of Eden has run its course. It's coming to an end. And God's great kingdom is coming to earth. I mean, the next angel, as we see here in, he's in verse 8, said the second angel, he's flying around saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all the nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality," right? And we're going to get more into Babylon in chapter 17, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking to you about Babylon this morning, but Babylon the Great is described as the mother of prostitutes and earth's abominations, right? Babylon the Great represents mankind's rebellion against God, and it's all rooted in the evil of historic Babylon. And we'll get more into that when we get to Revelation chapter 17. But so the second angel is saying, Babylon has fallen. And then the third angel is saying that all who take the mark of the beast are going to drink the wine of God's wrath poured full strength from the cup of his anger. I mean, those are some heavy words right there. Full strength, it's not diluted. The wine of God's wrath is not watered down. It's coming full strength, right? There's going to be eternal torment for them. So judgment's coming. But the first angel, the first message that went out was about God's everlasting gospel. Why? Because there's still a chance. There's still hope. There will be a time when that door is closed, and that time is coming soon for them. But that door isn't closed yet. There's still hope. And so this angel's flying around the world sharing the everlasting gospel. Right? There's a quote that says, "The bitter irony of those during the tribulation is that they damn themselves eternally by their refusal to face the truth. And one day they're going to be forced to face it. Sooner or later, the glory that they refuse to give the Creator is going to be willingly torn from them by the spectacle of his wrath." It's going to be torn from them by the spectacle of their wrath. They didn't want to give it to God. Now they're going to have to give it to God. Jesus is returning. He's coming back. The Bible tells us that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Right? Every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus. All creation, the Bible tells us, bears witness to God's existence. No one's without excuse. Right? The heavens declare the glory of God, like it tells us in Psalms 19. Right? The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Everybody has seen it. Everybody from the beginning of creation to today. Our salvation's been orchestrated by God. Salvation is on God's terms. The good news, our salvation is sustained by Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it tells us. You want to get wise? You're looking for some wisdom? Start fearing the Lord. Great. Christ died on the cross to save man, to save you. We are all his. All he has done is loved you. And that's the thing. Never, never question your value or your worth in the eyes of God. Because he loves you. And here's the thing, what it tells us in verse 6, the gospel is given to all mankind, not just to a section of mankind or a specific nation, to all mankind. It says that the angels flying overhead with an eternal gospel, an everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people. We see them in heaven, every nation, every language, every tribe, every people. The gospel's for everyone. Why is the gospel universal? Because sin is universal. It affects everyone. Sin is universal, so is the gospel. But we always have to remember, as it says in God's word, it says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." So there's always a choice you have to make. It comes down to a choice. You've had in your life a choice to make. And you made a choice to follow Jesus. I hope. And that's the good news. But here's the good news about the everlasting gospel. The gospel, it wasn't written on a napkin, right? It wasn't just a passing thought. It's not being revised as we go along. Certain churches and certain religions have revised their doctrine and their theology so many times it would make your head spin. every, like, so many years. It's like, oh, well, we were wrong about that. Let's change it. Oh, well, let's change this. Oh, well, we better be more liberal over here. Let's change this. Oh, we want to be accepting by that group, so let's change that. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? No. It wasn't a passing thought. God's like, I got an idea, but I don't have it fully planned out yet. So here's a couple thoughts, and let's just kind of go with this, and then I'll figure it out as we go along. It's not like that. It's not like our Constitution. You don't get to vote on whether or not you like it or whether or not you think it's correct. The gospel is what God says it is. It can't be changed. It can't be modified. It can't be amended. You know how Hollywood makes movies today? They write an idea. Maybe they script it out completely before they start. Maybe they don't. Maybe they write that script as they go along. Maybe they didn't write the script to begin with. And they're just playing it from the seat of their pants. Some companies have made billions that way. I just saw this interview with an actor. And he's not a major actor, but he's been doing stuff for a long time, but he's usually keeps low key, does smaller independent movies. But he just got a role in a movie for the MCU, so the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? It's going to be in the Marvel comic movies. And he said, I've never made a movie this way before. And he said, it was really stressful. Why? He says, because he says, these big movies, they don't start with a script. They start with a hope and a dream and an idea of something. And then you work as hard as you can and in the given amount of time that you have to make the movie as good as it can be. He goes, that's bad. He goes, that's stressful. The good news, it doesn't work that way. The gospel isn't just an idea of something where you can work as hard as you can to make it as good as you can be. Because if it was like that, that would be stressful. You would never know if it was worthy of anything until it was over. I mean, that's what the world will tell you. That's how you need to do it. That's what religion might say. But that's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is a total gospel in the sense that it is finished. It's not a partial work. It is done. Finished. The gospel was given to be understood, not misunderstood. Why is the gospel misunderstood? The gospel is misunderstood because of false gospels. The gospel is misunderstood because of false shepherds, because of false prophets, because of false teachers, because of sheep and wolves and sheep clothing. That's why the gospel is misunderstood, because people have added to it and subtracted from it. And tried, in a sense, writing their own gospel. But that's what Galatians warns us about. Any other gospel, even if an angel came down from heaven and gave you a gospel, other than the gospel that we've already told you, that's not a gospel at all. If you meet any other Jesus other than the Jesus in the Word of God, it's not Jesus. Just this week, I heard a pastor say, over on the East Coast, that God is more interested in taking care of the physical needs of the sick and the needy than he is concerned about their salvation. And I saw a whole bunch of people from his church say, amen, brother. And then I saw someone else reply and say, I'm pretty sure God never said that. I think Satan did. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew 9, when they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed, he says, Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. They brought the paralytic to Jesus to have him physically healed. And Jesus looked at him and said, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And so the scribes got all upset, right? This man is blaspheming. Because he's acting like he's God. Oh, surprise. He is. But Jesus, it says, knowing their thoughts, he said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, rise up and walk? And then he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? And then he said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And the paralytic rose, picked up his bed, and walked away. He said when the crowd saw it, they were afraid. But yet they glorified God because he had given that authority to Jesus. Jesus is always concerned about your spiritual needs first. We've talked about this. If we meet someone who isn't a believer, and we're not worried about their spiritual need, their salvation, and all we're worried about their physical need, and trust me, God is interested in their physical need too. But he's interested first in their spiritual need. He wants them to come to Jesus. Because if he just told that paralytic to get up and walk and he never forgave that paralytic of his sins, he had done the man no good. Gospel has been distorted because Satan is a deceiver. I heard another celebrity on TV, saw a video this last week, and this guy has been long identified as a Christian. I mean, he's written books and multiple TV shows, thanking God for his success, many articles about his struggles and his faith. He speaks as a motivational speaker. He's a game show host. He does all kinds of things. And he released a video where he's in the United Arab Emirates and he's hanging out at the Abu Dhabi's Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque, dressed in his Muslim wear. And he says, there's no one way to heaven. No one way to paradise, he said. He goes, it's like television. Like there's over 800 channels on cable, he says. And they're all pretty entertaining. So I'm pretty sure, he says, that to get to heaven, there's got to be more than one route. Because somebody's watching another channel or taking another channel than you, they're all being entertained, and they're probably all going to get to heaven. Wait, what? Listen, I'm going to cut him some slack. I'm going to cut him some slack. Because all roads lead to Jesus. But there's only one door to get to heaven. And that's through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There might be 800 channels. And everybody may be on a different channel. But eventually all those channels are going to have Jesus. And they have to choose at that point whether to follow Jesus or turn the channel off. There's only one way to God. And that's Jesus. Only one way to God. And that's Jesus. The Barna Group just pulled over 1,500 Generation Zers. Ages 13 to 21. All right. And the researchers found that 2/3 of these teens and young adults, 65% of them agree that there are many religions can lead to eternal life. The Generation Z, moral relativism is their majority right now. Right. Many religions can lead to eternal life. Right. The gospel has been distorted because Satan is a deceiver. Any other gospel is no gospel at all. Any other Jesus is no Jesus at all. But yet here we have during the tribulation the whole world worshiping the beast. They've all been deceived. Every word that they hear is blasphemous and false. They've probably all made images of the beast that they're worshiping. Many of them probably have taken the mark of the beast. And God still shows up to proclaim his everlasting gospel, right? The good news. You know, God weeps over those who don't know him. The fact that God shows up right here in verse 6, the first angel comes out and proclaims the everlasting gospel to this world that seemingly all turned their back on him, shows that he's not willing any should perish, right? He wants them all to come to repentance. He wants them to know that his word is true. So it comes down to that choice. You have a choice to make. Don't gamble your life away. It isn't too late, right? There'll be some days, there will be a day when that door is closed. That day is not today. Come to Jesus. You know, Peter said that we've been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul wrote to the Romans that he was not ashamed of the gospel, that Jesus is the Messiah, for it was the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. The good news is the power of God can save you from the power of sin. That's the everlasting gospel. That's the eternal gospel. Why? Because sin is destructive. It's destroying you. The wages of sin is death. When sin is finished, it brings death. The Bible tells us that. But the good news, the everlasting gospel, is that through Jesus you can be saved from the penalty of sin. You can be saved from the power of sin. And one day, thank you, Lord, we will be saved from the presence of sin. It just won't be around. It doesn't get any better than that. The good news is that the bad news is almost over. And haven't we had enough bad news lately? Seriously? I didn't want to write a list down here of all the bad news I've heard. But you know what I'm talking about, because you've probably watched the news or read the paper or got online. Man, it's all bad news. And no one comes up anymore and says, it's a good news, bad news thing. What do you want to hear first? They just come up and say, okay, well, here's the bad news. It's like, where's the good news? I don't have any good news. Every discussion I have with anybody at work now is, did you hear that bad news? What about this bad news? What about that bad news? Oh my goodness, this is bad news. It's all bad news. You don't even have an option for good news anymore. At least that's what the world tells you. There is no good news. The virus has mutated. There's more different variations of it now. It's growing legs and it's going to start walking. Aliens are coming. I'd never heard so many stories about aliens. It was a congresswoman, I think, just this last week. I didn't write it down. She holds office and she's either a senator or a congresswoman or something like that. She came out and she said, listen, I think everything that we're going through right now is preparing us for an alien invasion. I thought maybe I was reading the Babylon Bee, but I wasn't. I was reading actual news channel. It wasn't a satirical thing. She actually said this. You can't make this stuff up. I'm going to start a new series. I was thinking about doing this and putting it on YouTube, doing this weekly. Start a new series just called You Can't Make This Up. And just posting headlines from the week. Because, oh my goodness. I don't even remember what that one story was. My wife got so inflamed about it, she was just about strapped on a gun and went out and looked for the person who wrote it. It was about how breastfeeding your kids is, do you remember what it said, the language? Yeah, they were against the idea of naturally breastfeeding your kids because it, I don't even remember what the article, it was so awful of an article.
Because it would lead to researching for your own.
Yeah, it would lead you into having a free will and making choices about your kids' health on your own. And you shouldn't be doing that on your own. You shouldn't be making those choices for your kids on your own. You should let other people make those choices for your kids. No. You know where you can put that article. It's not going to happen. Listen, there is still good news, believe it or not. Despite what you read in the news, despite what you see on the news, despite what's going on in the world around you, despite what's going on, there is still good news. Because it's an everlasting gospel. It's been through worse than this, and it still stands. It hasn't faded away. It's never going to. It's an everlasting gospel. The good news will always be there. But you have to receive the good news to benefit from the good news. The good news is a gift that God freely gave. He knew what you needed. He put the gift under the tree, or on the tree, as the case may be. But in order for you to benefit from the gift, you have to receive it. Because if you don't receive it, it doesn't do you any good. It could be the greatest gift in the world that someone wrapped up for you and put out there, but if you never open it up, you'll never know that. You got to receive the gift to benefit from the gift. So you got to receive Jesus. I don't know if you guys have seen these cards that Dale brought us, actually. They've been sitting on the back table back there. But if you're talking with anybody and they need to hear the good news, you can share this with them. It's called the 60-second gospel. And it's straight, plain forward, and to the point. There's other resources like this available. Of course, you always have this, right? But if you don't have all those verses memorized to be able to point people to the gospel, then you got this. That's already laid them out for you on a single little piece of paper, right? God loves you. God hates sin. Even if you're a good person, you've not lived a perfect life, nor has anyone else. Your sin has separated you from God. Your payment for sin is death and hell, but there is good news. A perfect substitute can make your payment, and God loves you so much that he gave Jesus as your substitute. And through his death, you can have life eternal, and by his resurrection, death is defeated. This gift is free. You could never deserve it. And just by accepting this gift, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten, and you will be reconciled to God and live with him forever in heaven. Good news. There's still good news. People need to hear that. People need to see that, right? People need to know that the good news is that the bad news is almost over. Because they think it's going to last. They think the bad news is everlasting. No, it's not. It's temporary, actually. The good news is everlasting. I much prefer the good news over the bad news. One last thing before we end. Verse 12. It says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. It's like the second time John has said this as we're going through Revelation. Endurance. Again, what do they say about the everlasting gospel? The everlasting gospel has with it the idea that it has endured, that it has gone through storms and sailed out the other side. For those of us who have our faith in Jesus, guess what? What is this telling us? This is telling us that we need to have an everlasting faith. You're like, how can I have an everlasting faith? It's tough. Every day I wake up, it's tough. And that's true, and I understand completely. Your faith will go up and down. You'll have your good days and your bad. But you have an everlasting faith. And I say that because your faith is rooted in an everlasting gospel. And the gospel is rooted in an eternal God. So you have an everlasting faith. Rooted in the one and true God. Jesus. So have an everlasting faith. Just trust in Jesus. The bad news is almost over. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your message, and I pray, Lord, that you just continue to pour this into us. We need to, every morning, Lord, be reminded of the good news, the power of the good news, the hope found in the good news, the everlasting good news, the eternal good news. Know that our faith is rooted in that so that we can continue to step out and endure the day and in the weeks and the months ahead, knowing that you will never fail us, nor will you forsake us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your love. I pray, Lord, that your spirit just be with us and continue to lift us up and encourage us so that we can share that good news with others who think that there is no good news left. There is. Jesus is still here. That good news, that gift is available to anyone who wants to receive it. You need to make that decision today. Trust in Jesus, because there will come a day when that door is closed. But right up until that last second, the good news will be proclaimed, so you still have that choice. Just trust Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that good news. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.